Hello and welcome to ETY Podcast, Voices on the World of Work. I'm your host, Bianca Luna Fabris, and in this episode, we will be looking into psychosocial risks with Aude Cefaliello, researcher here at the ETY. Hi, Aude, and welcome.
Well, it's a real pleasure to be invited to discuss about this topic, so thank you for having me.
So, I think it would be actually quite helpful to start from a very simple question. So for us lay people, what are psychosocial risks? And it would be actually quite helpful if you could give us a few examples.
If it were that easy. No, first of all, I think it's important to stress that psychosocial risks arise from a lack of prevention of risk at work. This is due to a lack of prevention, of collective prevention that will impact individual people. And this lack of prevention, it's about how we design work, it's about how we organize work, and about, for example, management. And then this mismanagement will impact the workers negatively, both physically and psychologically. And here I will give you the example you're looking for. We are all familiar with the concept of stress, burnout, workplace bullying. Well, sadly, these are the effect of psychosocial risk factors. And this appears because we have mismanaged, for example, excessive workloads, time pressure, conflicting demands, and lack of role clarity. We have all been in a situation, for example, where there is a group project, right? And your hierarchy or your management designed you or say that you are the one in charge for leading the group, but doesn't give you any real power or real tools or empower you or give you real responsibility, clear responsibility that you are the one in charge. So for example, you have to deal with colleagues who are challenging your role as a leader in the group, as one example. Of course, it then are giving you far too much tasks that you are able to do, but because of the deadlines piling up and no one wondering, lack of communication between different departments, let's say, you are in the situation where you cannot face it or not properly in a relaxed manner.
Mm-hmm. Very clear. Thank you so much. But in terms of like countries in Europe, are there like best ranking and worst ranking countries in terms of PSRs?
I'm not going to give names because this is not what we do. What I can do, though, is base...
Fair enough.
I can base my answer on... So there is this amazing agency, EUOSHA. I'm a very big fan of their work. And what they have been doing for the past years now, it's having a European survey on newer and emerging risks, like SNR. The latest one, are really recent, is like data collecting in 2019, like publication 2020. And they ask if some companies all over Europe have procedures in place for some PSR factors. So they ask, for example, if they have any plan to prevent work-related stress, if they have anything about reorganization of work to reduce job demands or work pressure, and, for example, any intervention when an employee works excessively long or regular hours. On these 3 points.
And I'm just going to interrupt you on that. It's great that you're mentioning EUOSHA, and I'm sure that they're doing a great job.
No, but wait, because they have data.
But you have also written a policy brief on this. And for everyone that is listening, I think that is going to be linked in the show notes.
After. Take your time. They have data. I have collected qualitative data. They have quantitative one. And here we have names and we have countries. So what is interesting about, if we ask like companies, do you have an action plan on work-related stress? In average, 35% of countries, like in all over Europe, 35 companies said yes. In Czech Republic, we have only 9.3%. Estonia, 13.5%. This is on one side, right? Surprisingly, Portugal, not even 20. So they are all below the European average.
The threshold. Okay.
Yes. On the other side, we have Sweden, more than 70%. Denmark, almost 66%. And Italy, 48%.
Oh, this is quite okay.
So we see what we see is like a real gap, right? In between these two. I can give you more numbers for the reorganization of the work demand, intervention, the action plan to prevent work-related stress, 35%, let's say. Reorganization to reduce job demands, 44%. However, intervention, if something goes wrong, 30%. So what does it mean? It means that we have still not a majority. You will also hear that on none of this, we have more than 50%. So in a minority of workplaces, we do have something to reorganize job demands. We do have something to prevent work-related stress, but it's way less when actually an employee is faced with high demands and long hours.
Very clear. Okay, well, thank you so much, Odd. And I think now we can just follow on to the next question that, I mean, you've touched on this, and you did say that workers that work on a digital place, for example, we work on our laptops, we work at home, but it doesn't only affect digital and office workers, PSR. So who is also affected by PSRs, and what sectors are the most prone to this, apart from the sectors that we obviously know?
The sectors which report the most cases of stress, workplace bullying and violence altogether is education, human health and social work activities.
Education, you said?
Education. Education is really stressful, probably because in many countries in Europe, there is a cut of the resources. So a lot of teachers are actually in situations where they have to take care of, for example, a lot of different kids without the proper means to do so. And also with a lot of different demands and all of this, maybe not a lack of training, but a lack of work organization. They are not placed in a situation where they can do properly their job. And that causes huge stress.
In terms of actual like hard law, legal provisions, then which countries are workers protected by law from PSRs? And on this regard, I think for anyone that is listening, you might want to look into Odd's latest policy brief.
Latest policy briefs and forthcoming big mapping of 26 European countries.
We'll keep our eyes peeled for that.
But here, so once again, it's not black and white. So PSR is different things. There is a PSR factor I mentioned before, work organization and all of this. We have examples in 15 countries where they mention at least one of the PSR factors I mentioned before. Either organization, work organization, tension at work, and being careful with this. A mention of it in one form. Then in 13 countries, so 50%, we have either a definition or a mention of work-related stress. And in 16 countries, something about workplace bullying. But it's not in the same intensity. So here I wanted to give you some examples, I think, that are showing a bit the variety of it. Denmark has adopted an executive order in September 2020, so it's fairly recent, which they provide an obligation to prevent when it comes to the way work is planned and organized, content of work, the way work is performed, and social relation at the workplace. So, and here it's a collective prevention of the individual impact, which is really interesting. But also two countries that have adopted or reviewed their law recently, Estonia, the 2019, where they say that psychosocial risks include work not corresponding to the abilities of the employee, working alone, for example, working or work organization that might affect the mental and physical health, including work-related stress. So you see here, something interesting, there is mention of psychosocial risks. They link it with stress. On the other side, in Croatia, they start from work-related stress, and then they say that what can cause work-related stress is the content of work, work organization, working environment, poor communication, and so on and so forth. And they reviewed this in Croatia in 2021.
All the cases that you have laid out, they're quite recent.
They're really recent. But it shows that there is an interest right now, and there is a willingness for member states to go on the legal side on these questions. They just don't do it in a similar way, which might be a bit patchy then.
Okay, well then the question I think is quite obvious then. What about collective agreements?
Well, so here there is a bit of a caveat. So we have examples of collective agreements dealing either with the PSR factors I've been mentioning again and again, stress or workplace bullying. But before going into the details, this is not representative of the work from the health and safety rep that are the main actors discussing all issues at the workplace. So we have to be careful with the picture it gives. But for example, in Spain, we have example of collective agreements that have been negotiated in 2021, saying that there is an explicit duty of the employer to assess psychosocial risks as preventive measure for moral harassment, right?
Yeah.
Then in France, we have had a national intersectoral agreement in 2020, saying that once again, we need to prevent psychosocial risks. So factors in a way to also address work-related stress and workplace bullying, but nothing really in the details. So here we have to go back to a former agreement that has been negotiated in 2019 on work-related stress. Here, then you have indicator of what can basically be like red flags in cases where there are work-related stress in your company, less than the number of cases of workplace accidents, of absenteeisms, this kind of things, right? And then what should be done when there are these indicators going completely, you know, breaking the records.
Okay, but then from what you've said, I think it's quite clear that there is the need for supranational legislation, for an EU directive, EU regulation on PSR.
Yes.
So where are we at with that? Because I think we've discussed this in previous conversations that PSR is included in the ongoing platform directive.
Yes.
But then there is no ad hoc provision on this. So is there any movement in Brussels to have this included in a directive?
Well, first of all, just one sentence about the need, because maybe someone who are listening to me like, yeah, well, national member states are good on their own. No. There is not, first of all, a single, like, not a lot of countries have everything. It's fragmented. A lot of countries have nothing or only have partial protection, but we see a willingness to deal with it at the national level, and we need to find a way, Europe, like EU-wide and at the EU level, to do it in a coherent and homogeneous manner, right? To provide equivalent protection. This is why we need the EU action. What we have had for the past 30 years, and what we rely on, is the framework directive adopted at the beginning of the 90s, saying that the employer has to ensure the safety of the workers in every aspect related to work. Here, there is the theoretical belief, and which is true, that it should cover also PSR, but no further indication. What we have been relying on at the EU level is the adoption of two framework agreements, which are non-legally binding, in 2004 on work-related stress, and in 2007, so a while ago, on violence and workplace bullying. And these are interesting pieces, right? They provide description, some ideas, guidance, but they haven't been implemented properly. Otherwise, we would have a different picture of the one we have right now in 2021.
Yeah, of course.
And the problem is, at the moment, indeed, at the EU level, they say that we have already the general principle of prevention and there is no need. What we prove with the research that we have been like conducting, and the OSHA as well, there is a need now. And I think just the platform work directive is interesting, because if it passes, especially the Article 7, for the first time, we have the word psychosocial risk
in European legislation.
In a European legislation, and there is a mention of the framework directive. It's a good start, because it appears somewhere, but it falls short because it doesn't say how that should be addressed.
Yeah, because it would need an ad hoc legislation on this.
Exactly. Probably inspired by all the good examples we have nationally.
Yes, very clear. Thank you so much, Aud. I think it's been a very inspiring and, yeah, very inspiring podcast episode. So thank you for so much for being with us today. And to everyone that is listening, you'll find a few links in the show notes, Aud's recent policy brief, and also a really interesting chapter in the latest edition of Benchmarking Working Europe.
Thank you very much. And please reach out if you have any questions.